turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you very much. You may be seated. That's fine. Hebrews 11. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Our time is limited today. Want to use our time as wisely as possible? Very good. All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter number 11. All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 11, look if you would please at verse number 24. I want to read a couple verses with you and make just a few points this morning. Our time is limited. I've enjoyed the service, and thank you for the song. Thank you for the participation in the congregational singing, as well as the testimonies. Hebrews 11, verse number 23, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Would you please read verse 26 with me, everyone? Heavenly Father, I pray you take a few moments that we're together and allow us to be a help and a blessing. I can think of men in this room who I would much rather hear speak this morning personally. And I think that they could do a better job explaining your truth to young people. But you've allowed me to do it. And Lord, I love the young people that are here. Many of them, I don't even know their name. But they're important to you. You're important to me. And this message is important because it's your word. And I pray that God, you would please stir our hearts and help us in the few moments we're together to be a help and a blessing is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is given to us in 66 books. 39 books are the Old Testament, 27 are the New Testament, written after Jesus went back to heaven. One of the later books of the Bible is the book of Hebrews, which we just read. It's 13 chapters, and it's written to Hebrew believers who had accepted Jesus Christ, but were wondering in their mind and in their thoughts, is it worth it to serve Jesus? Because everything had changed for them. When I got saved as a young man beside my bed on a Monday morning, 2 weeks later I got baptized. It was a joyful time in the Wilkerson home. My dad was happy. My mom was happy. My church family was happy. When I got baptized, people clapped. They were happy for me to get baptized, and quite frankly, I was happy. But when the Jewish believers got saved in the New Testament, those first people, that wasn't the same response they got from their dad and their mom and their brothers and sisters and their employers. Many of their employers, when they found out they got saved and baptized, would fire them on Monday morning. Their parents would cut them out of inheritance and make them leave the house and have a funeral for them. Their husbands would divorce them when they came home with wet hair from a baptism service and kick them out of the home and leave them destitute. Widows whose husbands had died, kids would cease to support them and they become indigent and on the streets. It was not as easy as when I got saved, and many of you when you got saved. It was a challenge. And everything changed for them. They used to have a priest who would wear linen garb and a linen ephod, and he was very royal and very special, and his clothes were immaculate, and his speech was rehearsed, and he knew God's word and his ways, and now their preacher was a former fisherman. They used to go to the temple, and it was a reverent place, and it was the Holy of Holies, and the priest would go behind the curtain and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat annually, and now that curtain has been split in two, and it's open. There's really no need to go to the priest. There's no need to kill a lamb every year and offer it to the Lord and get the fuzzy wuzzies and the inward emotions that came when their sin was forgiven for another year postponed. Now they had Jesus. They had forgiveness. But things were different. And persecution. And it was hard. It was difficult. And they struggled. Is it worth it to serve the Lord? Yes, Jesus is our Savior, but should we continue to serve Him? And the truth of the matter is, I've had those thoughts. And these folks have had those thoughts. And adults have had that thought. And teenagers, and some of you, might have that thought right now. You're looking at the future of your life. Most of my life is behind me. I'm 50 years old. I will not be 100, I guarantee you. All the old people are short little fellows. And you'll not see a 100-year-old, 6-foot-4-inch man. They're all little guys. Most of my life is behind me. Most of your life is ahead of you. It's ahead of you. And you've got to contemplate what I had to contemplate when I was 13 and 14 and 15 years old, when I sat in the pews of this auditorium and heard chapel messages like this. Is it worth it? And is Christ enough? And God inspired the holy writer to write the book of Hebrews for one purpose. And his purpose was to tell Christians that Jesus is better. Christ is worth it. Now let me say to you, that's not what the world says to me or to you. Sometimes that's not what authorities in our life tell us. They say, look, life is about getting a career, providing for your family. That's not what life is about. Life is about making something of yourself and enjoying the American dream. That's not what life is about. But we got to find out what is life about. And really, for the child of God, life is about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's a challenge that people of all ages, of all stages, men and women, throughout all of history, have had to come to grips with. And in our story today, in all through the book of Hebrews, he says Jesus is better than angels. He's better than Abraham. He is better than the Old Testament law. He's a better high priest. He's a better payment of sin. He's the Lamb of God. You don't have to do another lamb. The blood of bulls and goats cannot forgive sin. Only Jesus can. And then he tells them in chapter 11, let me tell you about some people who believed that Jesus was better. And he said, Abel believed that Jesus was better. So much the more that he sacrificed a lamb that he loved annually so that he could believe that Jesus was better. Enoch thought Jesus was better. He chose to walk with God and was not, for God took him. Noah thought Jesus was better. He built an ark, a type of Jesus, that if he would climb into it, he could save himself and his family. Abraham and Sarah thought Jesus was better. They left the Ur of the Chaldees and went on a lifetime camping trip. I like going camping, but one of my favorite things about going camping is coming home. Getting back to my bed and a hot shower, and I don't mind getting smoke-filled and dirty for a while and sleeping on the ground, but let me get back pretty quick. Abraham and Sarah never got back. They lived their whole life on a camping trip, opening a tent every morning after they left their comfortable home. And people would ask him, what are you doing? We're doing this because the Lord told us to, by faith. And we're looking for a building in a city whose building and maker is God. And he passed it on to Isaac, and Isaac to his son Jacob, and Jacob to his sons, and to Joseph. And then the Bible says there was a guy named Moses. And he was blessed because his parents also were believers. They were slaves. They had been 400 years ancestors. They came to Egypt when they were just 70, and now there's 2 million Jewish people, and they're one of 2 million. But Amrad and Jochebed, his mom and dad, they saw, and when he was born, there was a decree out to kill all the little boys who were Jewish. But they saw him, and God touched their heart, and they said, you know what? God has a purpose for our child. We've got to do what it takes to protect him and to keep him, because God has something for him. And they did. They protected him. You know, most of us have been protected by moms and dads and pastors, and their parents had faith. My parents had faith. My dad's with the Lord Jesus, has been there for 22 years. But he loved me. He loved my brothers. And he, when I was in third grade, he took me out of a public school and put me in a Christian school. And through that, I got to be exposed to God's word and God's ways and God's people. So many blessings I got because my parents had faith. What a blessed man I am. And Moses was blessed. But you know the story. When they could not hide him physically anymore, they put him in a basket and float him down the Nile. Miriam following along, and God laid on the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to go out and get him and to raise him. And his mom and dad took him in, and she became his mom. He allowed his mother, Jochebed, to take care of him and to nurse him and to care for him probably until he was 4 or 5 years old, and had a relationship with her, but it probably strained. Because in time, he really got used to Pharaoh's palace. He may or may not ever gone home and saw the slave quarters where his mom and dad lived. But he started enjoying. He went to the schools of Pharaoh. He heard the music of Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world, he learned the way they worshipped. He saw what they did. He enjoyed the plush life, the system, and the status of being Pharaoh's daughter's son. I don't know if this is true, but Josephus, one of the historians, said that he was next to be the Ramses, or to follow in the lineage of the one who was going to rule to that day the most wonderful nation in the world, the most powerful nation in the world. He was in line in the status and the system and the success of the world. But the Bible tells us that when Moses came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he said, you know what? Something snapped in his head. Something came to him, and he got a moment of maturity. And he said, hang on a second. This is not who I am. I am adopted into Pharaoh's family, but this is not who I am. I belong to someone else. I am a child of God. And yes, I enjoy the status and I enjoy the system. I enjoy the success of Egypt, and I have a bright future ahead of me from a worldly perspective and from an Egyptian mindset. But enough is enough. I am refusing to be recognized as Pharaoh's daughter, as an Egyptian. I'm going to live differently. And the Bible says he chose, at that moment of maturity, he chose to suffer afflictions with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, sin is fun. It's much easier to listen to wrong music than it is to listen to right music. In our area, there is a radio station, 93.7 or 9. It's a Christmas station in our area, and there's 90.5, which is a Christian station. One's a secular, one's Christian. They both play Christmas music. I like to listen. I would prefer listening to the secular music on my radio if I had my choice. My flesh longs for that. But I'm not that. I have to make a choice. And you know what? He chose to say, you know what? I'm not this anymore. I am going to suffer affliction. Now, I don't like that term. I'm allergic to pain. Anybody with me? Anything is hard. I don't really want to do it. I want to have an easy life. I like days off, not days at work. I like it when the teacher calls off school. Hallelujah. I like when I get to sleep in. Anything that's easy for me, I'm there. I like it. But you know what? Moses chose affliction over pleasure. He chose enduring difficult things over enjoyment. The pleasures of sin, because he saw the status of the world, the system of the world, the success of Egypt was just seasonal. It was just for a short time. He got it. He woke up one day and said, hang on a second. This is not who I am. I don't belong to Pharaoh's house. I am an Israeli. I am a people of God. I'm a child of God. I'm going to make a choice, and my choice is I'm going to choose affliction over pleasure. I'm going to choose enduring some hardship over enjoying things because I feel like that this life is kind of short. And I think I'm going to choose something different. And the Bible tells it doesn't leave us any surprise here. I want you to notice the verse we read together. Would you look there if you would? At verse number 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Once again, that's another tough word. Reproach. I don't like that word. I want to be accepted. I don't like it when someone makes fun of me or gives me a hard time because I'm a child of God. I try to be respectful in our community. I want to be liked. I want to be admired. But when someone makes fun of me, it hurts me. And even though I'm a pastor, it still hurts me. But he said, I'll take the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt. And the Bible tells us why he did that. He said, I'll esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And then he said, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, with that in mind, today I'm going to close the message quickly, but I want to get four words to you. And I want to encourage you, every one of you, though we live probably 3,500 years after Moses, I have the same decision to make, and so do you, Spanky. I've got to make the decision, and you got to make the decision. What are you going to do with your future? Let me tell you, Egypt is out there. The system, the status, the success of this world is available to me. It's available to you. But there is a choice to make. It is temporary enjoyment and pleasure now, or eternal enjoyment for years to come. I said this last night. In a million years from now, all that's going to matter is where you live. You're going to live with God, or you're going to live without Him. If you live with Him, you'll be in His presence, and wherever He is heaven. If you're not saved, you're going to be, for the last million years, screaming your head off in pain and agony without hope in the lake of fire, without God in any hope. But if you are saved, and many of us are, some of you are not. I don't say that because I know. This many people in one room, there's two groups, saved or lost. If the Lord were to come back today, or this building got a bomb set on it, and all of us went to eternity, some would wake up with God, others would wake up without Him. And if you don't know if you're going to wake up with God, you'd be an idiot not to deal with that. You need to confess that you're a sinner and get someone to help you, and don't let pride or procrastination keep you from getting saved. But if you are saved, here's my four words. Number one, maturity. When are you going to come to years? You know, I know that different kids mature at different stages. But the Bible says when Moses was come to years, what that meant, when he got mature. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I always hated when someone said, "You're so immature." It drove me crazy. Because even though I was 13, I wanted to be respected as though I was 15. I wanted to be respected. And whenever he came to years, he got a mature moment. He said, "Hang on a second. Who am I? And what am I going to do with my future?" Young person, could I encourage you to get to maturity right now? On this last day of November 2017. Don't wait till you're 40, 50, 60 years old and say, "You know, I think I figured out what I want to do with my life." You have been blessed because God has brought you to places and people that will encourage you to believe and receive Jesus Christ and live for Him. Moses had to decide, is Christ better or is the world better? And your decision's the same as mine. Number two, the word move. Maturity and move. You're going to move one or two places. You're going to move with the world, and you're going to go for the status and the symbols and the system and the success and the season of this world, or you're going to choose God. You do not ride the fence. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're going to go this way or this way. And if you ride this way, you're going to go this way. That's your choice. You're going to have to make a choice. And the Bible says that Moses, he chose what to do. He said, "You know what? I am going this way. I'm going with Christ. I'm esteeming that the reproach of Christ is greater riches than the treasures that are in the world. So the world behind me, the cross before me." You'll have to make a move. And if you don't move, you're moving this way. If you want to make a move, you're going to have to make a move. And that's what my encouragement is. Get mature and make a move. I had a man the other day tell me, I was spent about 2.5 hours with him, and I began watching him become more and more committed to Jesus Christ. He used to come once on Sunday, and that was it. He started coming more faithfully, Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I asked him, the other day I said, "Oh," because he had a good friend, and I thank God for good friends. He said, "Is that why you're doing that?" He says, "No." He said, "Pastor," he said, "you know, it wasn't a Christian that caused me to make a move." He goes, "I was in a room with a man who was a homosexual and another man who is not a, he says he's a Christian, but he doesn't live like a Christian. And the other man said to me, he said, "You know, I'm so sick of Christians who live like me." He said, "If you're going to be a Christian, be all the way a Christian. And if you're not, then just live like the world and be a heathen." And this guy and this homosexual said, "Yeah, I at least respect someone who is in or out." He said, "You know what, when I heard them, I thought to myself," I walked out of that communication, and I thought to myself, "I got to make a decision. I'm either in or out." He goes, "And you know that it was an unsaved man or a man who was wicked, even if he is saved, who challenged me to get in or get out." So then, you know what? If I'm going to be real, I'm going to be real. You got to make a move. Let me say this, another one. You have to have a mindset. The mindset is this: I'm willing to endure difficult times. You know, I kind of want to say to you today, listen, guys, if you serve the Lord, it's a piece of cake. It, you know what? It's nothing. It's easy. Come on, man. Just come on, guys. You're going to love it. Can I tell you the truth? That's not true. It's more fun to sin than it is to not. It's easier. Now, after 50 years of life and the last 37 of surrendering myself to serve the Lord, it's the best life. Don't let me discourage you. It's the best life. it's not the easiest life. Some of you are struggling with purity. If purity was easy, everyone would do it. It's hard to be pure in a filthy world. It's not easy to be a soul winner. My wife and I went to the hospital night before last, 7:30 at night. A lot of things I'd like to do at 7:30 at night, and probably going to the hospital is not one of them. But I went there so I could win and witness to a lady about Jesus Christ. It's not always easy, but it is rewarding. But you have to get a mindset. The Bible says, Apostle Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, serving Jesus is a call to a few. I know today I'm not talking to most of you. Most of you can't hack it. I don't want to be unkind to you. But you don't have it, what it takes right this moment to do what God wants you to do. I'm not trying to use reverse psychology. I'm just telling you, there's just be a few that come out. It was the way it was when I went to school. I had probably, 12 in my graduating class. Had probably 55 high schoolers in my school. Played basketball tournaments. But as we began to finish our school career, I started watching. Man, we had some guys say, hey, you know, I'm going to go to serve the Lord. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, one by one, boom, 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 they fell off the planet. They had that desire, but they didn't have what it takes. It's a mindset to say, you know what, I'm choosing difficulty over enjoyment. Now, I'm taking too long. Let me give you the third word. Not only is it a maturity, it's a move, it's a mindset, but there is motivation. You know what motivated Moses? Reward. He calculated, what is the best thing I can do with my life? You know, he chose to suffer difficult times with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of a palace and a future in the system and the status and the success of the world. What did he get for that? I don't think I could tell you. But he evaluated, he esteemed, he weighed out what is best for me. You know, the thing is, it takes only faith to determine your eternal destiny. To get saved, you don't have to do anything. Jesus did everything for you, but you need to believe and receive him. But it takes work to determine your eternal rewards and decisions. I want to just say to you about Moses. You know, God doesn't just promise that you'll have life eternally that's good, but he promises you'll have better life now. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible tells us, no man has left father and mother and houses and lands and joy in this life for me and my gospel that I'll not give him 10,000% more. God rewards on a different plane, not only in this life, but in the life to come. You know, he believed, you know what Moses believed? He believed that if he gave his heart to the Lord and chose the reproach of Christ, that it would be best for him. You know, it was Jesus who said this, lay up for, would you say the next word with me? Say it again, please. Lay up for
yourself.
Didn't say lay up for me. See, many of us, we have a tug of war in our mind. If I serve Christ, oh, it won't be good for me. You have been duped. You've been lied to. Anything I do for Christ is what matters for me, not only now, but forever. Let's think about some things that God did for Moses. Do you know who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible? The foundation of our faith? You know his name? What's his name? Do you know who went up to a mountain and spoke with God face to face? A friend of God? And got the law of God? You know what his name was? Moses. Do you know who came back and met Jesus 1,500 years later on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses. Do you know who led over 1 million, possibly 2 million people? He was the leader. You know who that was? Moses. You know who's probably going to be coming back in the tribulation period and stick his finger in the Antichrist's face? Moses. Do you know who has a really bright future for all eternity? Moses. who someone you and I admire. You know who is probably one of the most popular figures in all the world? If you go to Egypt, they know who Moses is. He is probably one of the most popular people outside of Abraham in the whole world. People know him. They've written books about him. They have played. You want to talk about popularity? Popular? Riches? Influence? Unbelievable. But he didn't know any of that when he chose Jesus. He didn't know he'd write any books. Some of you, if you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no doubt about it. You're going to be writing books. God is going to use you. Brother Douglas, Brother Bailey, Brother Collins, the pastors that stood, the teachers that stood, the coaches that stood, every one of them can go back to a time when they said, you know what, I could do this and have this status and this system and this success in the world, but I think I'll take Jesus. And there are so many rewards. The Bible tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Him that comes to God must believe two things about God. Number one, that he is. Number two, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Most of us who are saved know that he is. We have him in our Savior. We believe him. We love him. But we don't think that he's really going to reward us. Young people, you have motivation, but you got to do it by faith. If you'll look at the first word, the first little line, and we're done. Verse number 24, would you read the first two words with me? By faith, Moses. You got to trust God. Are you willing to trust God for your future? I hope you will. Students of Ohio's Anderson College, keep trusting the Lord. Visitors, young people that are seniors and juniors and sophomores, don't be a pile of, I wish I would have. The season of sin is always short. It's pleasures of sin for a season. Serving Christ, the first day of sin is always the best day. It gets worse after that. The first day of living for the Lord is always the hardest, and it gets easier as you go. Let's pray together, can we?